This ESPN Chicago podcast is brought to you by Cover 5, the free-to-play sports game. This week, Cover 5 is giving you a shot at $50,000. How? Download the Cover 5 app or go to cover5.com. Pick five games against the spread, and in week five, if you make the perfect five picks, you win $50,000. Cover5.com.
It's the usual time for Waddle and Sylvie, but we've only got half an hour left as we take you up to Sox and Twins pregame coverage, the final White Sox game of the season. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today, who has today off for the holiday.
Waddle. We'll have plenty of time in the future to kind of come together with some thoughts on what should be next for this team.
Yes, yes. That is the voice of Tom Waddle, former Bears wide receiver. I'm Jeff Meller in for Sylvie today, and we've been talking a lot of Bears earlier in the day. If you missed any of that and you want to check it out, it is all available for you on the ESPN Chicago app for you in podcast form, so check that out. Also, the Bulls started the preseason yesterday.
I did not see it.
I only caught highlights. The very last two
they
or three
the
minutes.
They played the Pels, right?
They did.
Did Zion play?
He did.
How did he look?
I saw it mostly in highlight form, so the highlights looked good.
Okay. I watched every second of that game.
Did you? Break it down for me.
Whoa. No Aaron Judge home run for you, Tyler?
No,
what's going on?
We gotta paint that picture
also,
at some point, too. Such a cynic for young as he is.
I think he had already hit it by the time the game started,
true. It was an 8:30 start for the Bulls game. It was around 7 o'clock when Aaron
Judge. If you're like Merkin, you got to clean up and take a shower afterwards, right? That'll take some time.
Redo the sheets and everything. But Zion looked fantastic. He had one move where it was on the baseline and he just absolutely shook Patrick Williams. He faked going inside and then just took P. Will baseline and threw it down. I think that was his first dunk of the game too. He looked good. He looked like he had not missed a beat.
Looks like he's finally back and ready to go and the Pelicans.
My question with him would be, is it sustainable based on the pressure he puts on his joints and his feet at his size?
I think it's a fair question. You know, he's going to have to go out there and give you a full season where he's available into the playoffs. You know, right, Tyler?
And I don't think he does himself any favors with it either, because if you watch him go up for a dunk or go up for a block, he looks like he's trying to jump and dunk on a 12-foot rim every single time.
He's got to learn how to pace himself.
Right, exactly.
So what struck me is something that I actually heard Bill Simmons' podcast. He had ESPN's Zach Lowe on. They were talking lots of different angles about the NBA and the upcoming season. And what struck me was something that I had kind of been mulling around in my head, Waddle, as to what exactly is the best case scenario right now for the Bulls as this season approaches, right?
And you're taking into consideration that Lonzo Ball is not going to be available for the foreseeable future. It's not 4 to 6 weeks where he'll be back. It's they reevaluate him after 4 or 6 weeks, correct?
Correct. And I think, would you agree that it really felt like last season Lonzo Ball was a linchpin for what they were doing on the court?
I'll take it even further than that. While I won't sit here and try to tell you, I'm no basketball expert, that he's their best player, I can make an argument he's their most valuable guy with what they're doing. Not only does he play defense, he can shoot the three, which will spread the floor, and he also plays with pace. Now, again, that may be an exaggeration. Maybe not most important. Or, like, look, I get people are going to say, how can you say? Because based on what they do.
Yes.
Like, he was so vital to their style of play. And when he wasn't there, like, there's an entirely different beast.
There's a reason why they were contending for the top seed in the East prior to his injury.
Yes.
Now, we can get into the realities of where they actually were. But the truth is, they still, once he went down and never returns, they finished in the sixth seed. I found this interesting, Zach Lowe laying it out. The difficulties that now face the Bulls because of how good the Eastern Conference is and where exactly that leaves him. Listen to Zach Lowe explain it to Bill Simmons, just his thought on the strength of the Eastern Conference.
Here's the reality of the East. There are eight teams where if you went to all of their fan bases one by one and said, your team's going to be in the play-in tournament this year, all eight would say, that's impossible.
You hate our team.
How is that even possible?
Why do you hate us?
Have you seen our roster? I'm like, okay, well, it's just math. Like, two of you out of Milwaukee, Boston, Toronto, Miami, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Atlanta, Brooklyn, did I get them all? Two of those teams are in the play-in tournament. That's just reality. And if you're high on Toronto, like we both are, that's another spot. I don't want to say locked up, but it gets harder for the Clevelands and Atlantas and maybe Miamis of the world and whatever the hell Brooklyn is going to be. Like, there are only six spots, and then you're in the play-in tournament.
Did you hear the Bulls mentioned in those?
No, I did not.
Eight teams that he listed off?
Listen, I think that may piss off, if you're a Bulls fan, may piss you off. But, like, I think that's very reasonable conversation.
And, that's the problem that we're looking at. The Bulls fell to the sixth seed. They were able to narrowly escape having to go play in the play-in game last season, the play-in tournament. But you're looking at it this year. And, oh, by the way,
Cleveland Cavaliers,
they've added, with Donovan Mitchell, they've added a legit star to their roster, which was already a team that was up and coming. Yeah. And so you've added Donovan Mitchell to that mix.
Brooklyn's going to be better this year.
Like, I would, 44 wins last year, I have no doubt in my mind.
How many games did Kyrie even play in the regular season?
I know, 30 maybe, if that. Like, it was.
I mean, there are no restrictions in New York anymore, right? Yeah. So he's ready to go full
time. Kyrie Irving, a full complement of him. And I would anticipate, too, that Kevin Durant will be healthier.
Yeah.
So just by the fact that those two will be on the roster, Brooklyn's going to be better. Philadelphia gets a full season of James Harden on the team. I think that makes them more cohesive. And granted, maybe Harden's not the guy he once was. Maybe he's not the MVP caliber player. But
listen, just do the simple, go from
Miami, last year's number one. They're better than the Bulls.
Yes.
Boston Celtics. I mean, okay, they don't have Udoka coaching, but I still think you have to say the Celtics are better prime. Yes. The Milwaukee Bucks. We saw what they did to the Bulls in the first round.
That's three.
The Philadelphia 76ers.
That's four.
The Brooklyn Nets.
That's five.
Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's
we just
six.
Gave you.
But the Raptors finished ahead of them as well. That's
and
seven.
A lot of people believe that Scottie Barnes and Toronto Raptors are also going to be better this year.
That's seven.
Atlanta Hawks. Now they finished below, but they've also they've
seven. Okay, so yeah. So I put the Bulls in the same category as the Hawks. No,
I can see that, but don't forget the Hawks. The Hawks during the COVID shortened season or whatever you want to, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago, and they've also made a big splash to their team going and acquiring Delonte Murray from the San Antonio Spurs. So they've put their chips in trying to improve their team. So you've got Murray in addition to the Hawks. The Bulls haven't made the addition, any key additions. And oh, by the way, they may be missing Lonzo Ball from the 46, win team. I mean, I think...
I think it's a fair concern if you're a Bulls fan that you may find yourself in a play-in scenario.
And I don't know. I mean, Tyler, feel free to weigh in, but you actually watched the game last night. But I think, maybe I'm wrong, but I think Bulls fans might be under the impression that this is going to be a team that, based on what they've been sold by AK, by Billy Donovan, the cohesiveness of this roster being together for another season,
right.
Like that's going to be all of a sudden some big improvement.
Well, you're hoping for better health out of, Zach because he missed some time. You're hoping that Caruso stays healthy.
Sure, but we know that Lonzo Ball's already not on the court for the first couple months in all likelihood.
Yeah. Well, remember, too, like the Bulls were actually pretty good when LaVine was out. Like, remember when he had some of those bouts with COVID and the Bulls were shuffling guys in and out? That's when they were at their best. It's really when Lonzo went out, kind of like what you've been talking about, Waddle. That's when they were at their worst, and they looked out of sorts, and they didn't have that true lead guard out there on the floor. Here's what I kind of took away from yesterday, too. I was scrolling through Twitter, and there was...
That's dangerous at times, as you know,
Tyler.
It is,
but the Bulls put out a tweet, and it was the locker shots of Drummond and Dragic, and it was like, first preseason game for these guys. And I was just like, oh my... Like, it
kind of the additions.
Right. It put into perspective really how little they did this offseason, when that's your big ticket marquee that you're trying to put out there of this is how we changed up the roster.
I mean, Dragic is 36, and all of a sudden
he did not look good yesterday.
Listen, this team is going to surprise us on the upside for a couple of reasons. A, Patrick Williams has to take that next step, right? Like, if Patrick Williams takes that next step,
Wait.
That's one thing that you have to. If you are going to be a better team this year than last year, Patrick Williams has to be a difference maker in a manner in which he was in last year. That's one thing.
Are you convinced that that's going to be
no,
the case?
No, I'm saying, okay. Like, this is what I'm saying for you, to you.
Minimum, how they get there.
How they get, if you say to me, well, how do they make it into one of the top six teams in the East and don't find themselves in a play-in scenario where other teams that were below them last year have closed the gap and may eventually pass them in an unexpected fashion. And my point to you is how do they get there? Well, one of the things that has to happen, yes, is Patrick Williams has to fulfill some of the potential that a lot of us think that he has. If he doesn't,
yeah,
and isn't more assertive,
then there's no chance.
Then there's no chance. Vooch has got to play better.
Sure.
Correct?
Yes.
And I'll say this about Levine, and Zach LaVine, who just got a max contract, has to take that next step as well.
There weren't a lot of bright spots yesterday. One of the bright spots, though, was Vooch, not offensively, but defensively, was really active. He got his hands in a lot of passing lanes, and it was like a defensive Vooch that I don't think we've seen. He was blocking shots. He made a really nice play on Zion really early in the game. That was actually one of the few encouraging things from yesterday.
So when you, knowing that Lonzo is going to be out for some time,
mm-hmm,
like I'm trying to paint you a picture or give you a roadmap for how they
get there.
Yeah. And
even still, though, I think Vooch playing better and Patrick Williams is an absolute must just for them to kind of tread water and be in
well,
that.
That makes them
spot.
Like that would, that to me would be what gets them to par with like Toronto.
Yeah. Let's try Peter and Lombard, who maybe is going to try and sell us on how they get those breaks and become a better team. What's up, Peter? You're on Waddle and Sylvie Meller in for Sylvie.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Very well. How you doing?
I'm great. Thank you. I don't know. I mean, listen to you guys, the Bulls might as well just call it a season. the season have not started. There are so many things happen within the season. Injuries. Just so many things. Sometimes you think one team that's going to be good end up not being good. I don't think the Bulls is a bad team at all. They have a chance. They might not end up one or two.
Okay, well, let's go through the exercise now. And nobody handicaps for injury. Nobody, and we're not either. And nobody's telling you they're a horrible team. We're asking ourselves, how do they get better than the sixth seed where they were last year, knowing also that Lonzo Ball's going to be out for the foreseeable future. Do you believe that your Bulls are better than the Heat?
I believe, I coach basketball myself, I believe that you go out and you play the game and you see what happens.
I agree with you, Peter, but right now, if I asked you for a prediction, okay, we've got to put a sizable chunk of money down. Are the Miami Heat going to finish higher up in the Eastern Conference than the Bulls?
I'll put my money on the Bulls.
Woo! Bulls are better than the Heat. Are they better than the Celtics?
No, they're not better than the Celtics.
Are they better than the Bucks?
No, they're not better than the Bucks.
Are they better than the Sixers?
I will put my money on the Bulls.
Okay. Are they better than the Raptors?
I will put my money on the Bulls.
Are they better than the Nets?
Yes, because the Nets are going to find a way to explode.
Okay.
Yes.
Are they better than the Hawks?
Hawks, they got to show me. I'm with the Bulls.
Okay. So are they better than the Cleveland Cavaliers?
I think Cleveland, with that young talent, they might be better than the Bulls.
Okay, so as we just did this exercise, it's not a binding exercise, and we're not going to save it for receipts or anything silly like that, but you have the Bulls as the number four seed in the East at the end of the season.
Four, yeah, I can see them at four or five, Waddle.
Okay.
Either four or five.
I hope that I hope we get to the end of this year, and thanks for the call, Peter, and we have a conversation, and I go, Peter, you were so right. I was way too conservative with how I felt they were going to perform this year. I don't subscribe to Peter's level of optimism, but I'm not going to criticize him for it.
Yeah, no, I think when you look at how they closed down the stretch without Lonzo,
I'm not going to tell him that he needs to see somebody for some odd feelings.
And I guess my point was that I do feel like a lot of Bulls fans may feel like Peter does, and they're looking at this as a year or two on the ascent after last year.
Well, listen, I mean, Bulls fans, is such a great fan base.
Sure.
Such a great fan base. And re-energized last year as well.
Yes, it's fun.
So I think that there's some Kool-Aid drinking early in the season.
And you and I were discussing this a little bit before the show, but the reality is that the way the Bulls played to start the year made them an easy, very likable team to root for. And so I'm all in. That's what I'm hoping we get. But without Lonzo Ball, straw that stirs the drink, I am concerned.
I think all professional sports as well, and I think we saw that with the NBA last year. It's not really how you start the season. It's how you end the season. And, like, you're going to get the best from the Celtics and the Heat and the Bucks, barring injuries, in the back half of the year. Like, that's just the way sports are played. And we went through this exercise as well upstairs with the NFL. Do you think that the 49ers are concerned about their 2-2 record right now? Do you think that the Rams, albeit they've got things to clean up, do you think they're panicking right now because their offense isn't scoring points?
They'd like to be better, but they're certainly not panicked.
There is nobody in sports these days that gets out over their skis with their worry this early in a season. Like, I will tell you that the first six games, you want to win them all. But if it doesn't matter who you are in the NFL in the first six games. I would even argue, too, it doesn't matter in the next five. Who you are in the last six games of the season. Now, you want to put yourself in position to get into the postseason. But who you are at the end of the year is so much more important than who you were in the fifth or sixth week.
Before we wrap up, there was some history made yesterday. Some American League history.
Here's the 1-1. Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record. Aaron Judge hits his 62nd. All the Yankees out of the dugout to greet him. Just think of it. Three Yankee right fielders. The Babe hitting 60 and 27. The Jolly Roger hitting 61 and 61. And now Aaron Judge hits his 62nd home run. The most home runs any American leaguer has hit in a single season. And the American League has been alive for 120 years. This is Judgment Day. Case closed.
Case closed. But still only the fourth most in a season in Major League Baseball history.
Right? No, it's I think it's the seventh most, right? Is it the?
I thought there was three guys that have hit more than 62.
Yeah, so now he's six? No, but like in terms of overall, because Sosa, remember, has hit more than 62.
How many times?
Three times.
Right.
McGuire did it twice.
Right. So, but there's only three guys who have done it. But you're saying, yes, you're right. They've done it multiple times.
The seventh most home runs in a season in Major League Baseball history. Of course,
don't you think
in American League?
It's such a
Judgment Day.
It is such a feverish conversation with some.
Oh, silly baseball! Silly baseball!
It is kind of crazy, isn't it?
By the way,
Tyler doesn't even give a rat's ass. Like, I was asking him, he actually is so cynical, he's making fun of everybody.
Of course. How about this piece of American League history that also was tied last night? Justin Verlander struck out 8 straight batters, tied an American League record. Now, Corbin
that doesn't float my boat
holds, either. Holds the Major League
does he?
Record.
How many in a
but
row?
But I'm just ignoring the National League going forward.
That's a good
anything
point.
That happened,
how many did Corbin Burns strike
he
out in a row?
He did 10 in a 10 consecutive hitters.
Okay.
But listen, I'm a Sox fan. I don't give a damn what happens in the National League. Only the American League from here on out.
That's all that counts.
That's my takeaway from what baseball has done over the last
few as a White Sox fan, you are tucking the 2022 season to bed today.
Not yet. Not yet. We've
today
got one more left. Sox and Twins. They're coming up next with the final game of the baseball season for the White Sox. Connor McKnight will have your pregame coverage coming your way at 2:30. Thank you to Tyler Aki and Charlie Bevins for producing today's show. Thank you, Waddle, for letting me sit in.
As always, enjoyed it quite a bit. Tell your son it's okay. Lubricant.
My pleasure. I will pass that message along to him. I'm Jeff Meller. Thanks for listening. This is Waddle and Sylvie. White Sox baseball coming your way next.